Make your plans now to join us for the G3 National Conference, September 30th through October 2nd, as we'll gather for Christian fellowship and the worship of God through song and the preached word. Our theme for the 2021 conference will be centered on biblical Christology. You can find registration details at g3men.org. Get 15% off by mentioning code G3BAR. That's G3BAR.
Yo, welcome to the bar. Come on and pull up a seat and open up your Bible. What a wonderful feast. The living bread, and we're discussing what it means for the streets, the inner cities and the burbs, and every person we meet. This is where we challenge worldviews that we hear from world news. In light of the scripture, we are here to serve you. We're your source for resources to help you on your way as you battle mean forces. This is for the people who can see the importance of sound theology and the scripture that support it. And this is for the truth lovers, biblically reforming, preaching Christ to the nations. Yeah, welcome to the Modern Reformation, yeah.
The Bar, biblical and reformed.
Welcome everybody to The Bar. It's your boy Dwayne in the building, right back in here another Tuesday. Super excited as always to be coming through your speakers, through your earbuds, wherever you listen to The Bar. We're grateful that you're listening. And like I do every week, I love to start the show by thanking the listeners. This is after G3, and I was able to meet a lot of listeners. A lot of people came up, said they listened to the show. Thank you so much for your kind words. And those that send messages, thank you for listening. And like I do every Tuesday, I bring in awesome guests. This guest, we've been trying to set this up for a little while. By God's grace, we're able to do it, in a timely manner. And so we have on today none other than Fred Sampson. Fred Sanders. Messed up on your name, but go ahead, sir. How you doing?
That's all right. It's good to be here, Dwayne.
Good, man. Good. So I would love to let my guests first start off by introducing themselves. Anything you want to share, whether it's personal or professional, you got the floor to do that here.
Well, just in general, I'm a systematic theologian. I teach at Biola University and the Torrey Hunters Institute. So that means I teach college students, undergraduates, and I've been here 20 years. Been married to my wife 30 years. We got two adult kids. We're launching them. I suppose they're adult. They're high school and college.
Awesome. Awesome stuff, man. So, tell me a little bit about, the work at the university. You said systematic theology. What are some of the things, you've noticed throughout the years? Cause I don't know how long you've been there as far as the students go and, just the understanding of sound doctrine.
Yeah, well, Biola's been a good place to teach. I mean, you know, we're a Christian school and we require our students to profess Christian faith coming in. And so we're able to teach at a pretty high level right away, you know, with our college students. I've been here 20 years and my focus is on the doctrine of the Trinity, which is kind of a big picture doctrine. You know, there's a lot of moving parts, a lot of presuppositions, a lot of things you have to understand rightly in order for the Trinity to make sense and matter to you as a believer. And so I appreciate being able to teach broadly and widely in the liberal arts and interact with students in a lot of ways to kind of help increase the odds on them really grasping the doctrine of the triune God.
Wow. So I guess what got my attention was a book that you wrote. I thought it was recent. It must be recent to me, but the Deep Things of God, you know, how to understand the Trinity. Tell me a little bit about that book and just kind of the layout of the book.
Yeah. Well, you might have picked up the second edition, which came out right. Years ago. The first edition was maybe 10 years ago. And that is The Deep Things of God is my main book. I write a lot of stuff at a lot of different levels, but in terms of getting my life message out there, kind of the thing I think I'm here to say as a theologian is that the doctrine of the Trinity really matters for Christian life and thought. So the subtitle is How the Trinity Changes Everything, which is a pretty boastful subtitle. I could blame the publisher Crosswick for coming up with that. I don't know if it changes absolutely everything, but it really is a major central doctrine. And so I think when I finished writing Deep Things of God, I said to my wife, like, I don't have any plans to die anytime soon, but if I were to die, That's kind of the thing I wanted to say.
Wow. Wow, that says a lot. You know, the thing about the Trinity, just because I'm not a theologian. You know, I'm not a college grad. okay. But I love to read, you know, theology. Yeah. And my listening, though, I love to listen. And that's why I started a podcast. And I always tell people, because I came out of the charismatic movement. I originally grew up, you know, Baptist, and transferred into the, charismatic movement. But one thing I always tell folks is, you know, I used to sing about, you know, the Trinity, you know, when you're, the doxology, and, mm-hmm. But never really understood. So anytime the materials about it, because I get so confused, well, still kind of work through it sometimes. As far as someone like myself or any other lay person, kind of give us the, you know, how you explain such a complex thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, if I can just start with the fact that you grow up singing about it, whether you understand it or not, it's sort of, it's there, you know, and the things mm-hmm. that we can do, in my opinion, it's all over the Bible, so that when I start teaching about the Trinity, and especially in Deep Things of God, I start really there from the touch points that pretty much almost any Christian, unless they're having a seriously deficient Christian experience and they're going to really struggling church of some kind. I just think any Christian has got these touch points where they already grasp something about the Trinity. Mm-hmm. Now, it could be when they sit down and try to sort of diagram it or understand it doctrinally, they might get tangled up and confused, and they might also be easy pickings for cults who come door to door and try to talk them out of believing in the Trinity. You know, so it's a position that needs to be strengthened and fortified. But I don't feel like I'm coming in from out of the blue and saying, I alone have the truth about the Trinity, and you have said it before, but now let me give it to you. I'm definitely about cultivating the touch points from songs, from Bible reading, from any book they've ever read or listened to about God, to kind of draw that out and establish it better.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, so the key idea, the one big idea in Deep Things of God, is to connect the doctrine of the Trinity to the gospel. So if I can get Trinity and gospel to go together in a reader's mind, then I think most of the work is already done. That you, in order to understand the depth of the gospel, what's really going on in our salvation, you've got to start talking in terms of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Wow. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. And so when you said that, I thought about one of the things that I used to experience in the Word of Faith charismatic circles was they tried to relate us as human beings as triune beings as well. Have you heard that?
Yeah, I've heard that. I'm not sure if that's exactly false. I just know it's very distracting. It's if you start trying to think about how God is three somethings and then maybe we are three somethings, that's just not the main road. You know, you're never going to get to any really solid understanding of God. Starting from that, you've got to start with the fact that the one God undertook to save us by being himself for us. And what that means in the New Testament is the Father sent the Son and the Holy Spirit. And you might notice there's a shift there from thinking about how humans are sort of threefold in some way and God mm-hmm. is threefold in some way. You're kind of comparing these two triangles that you drew on the page or something. It's kind of abstract and kind of distracting. Whereas if you said, listen, the point about the doctrine of the Trinity is the Father sent the Son and the Spirit because God always from all eternity was and is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Notice how even in saying that, I'm trying to talk about the Trinity, and I just told the gospel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like when I say the Father sent the Son and the Holy Spirit, that's a nice short version of the gospel.
Yep. Yep. Wow. Never thought about that, man. That's awesome. That's like you said, it's the picture of the gospel. Wow. So I guess, I mean, I'm staying on the Trinity a little bit. My listeners are probably like, this isn't your normal flow, but I'm very intrigued. And I love, you know, when I'm talking to somebody about it. So I have a lot of friends, that are oneness Pentecostal, you know, because mm-hmm. of where I came from. And, you know, they always make the I think one of the analogies is like water, like, you know, it's vapor and then it's water and then it's ice, you know. So yeah. What's the short answer to just that train of thought? Just curious.
Yeah. Oneness teaching can be really confusing because, you know, cause Jesus is fully God. And oneness people, especially like in the Pentecostal assemblies of the world, tend to think that they alone really teach the deity of Christ. And, you know, they don't trust Trinitarians. They think Trinitarians are somehow subordinating Christ. Like he's not God. He's just the Son of God or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the problem with something like water, ice, and steam, especially if you're teaching this oneness, if you're listening to this oneness doctrine. If you just ponder the relationship that the Father has to the Son. So if you just ask, who was Jesus praying to? And what mm-hmm. was that prayer like? Who sent Jesus? If you end up having to say, he sent himself, he's talking to himself, his relation to the Father is a self-relation of himself to himself, you can kind of feel how that is flattening things out.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be as Jesus-centered as anybody, but to be rightly Jesus-centered is to be centered up on the things he was centered up on, which is his Father, right? Jesus is who he is because he's sent by the Father in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so you don't have to make a choice between being Christ-centered and Trinitarian. To be properly Christ-centered is to be Trinitarian.
Mm. Great point. I'm going to use that next time.
You know, what I really appreciate is when oneness people are extremely clear about what they're teaching. So I forget mm-hmm. which one, I put out a t-shirt that said, Jesus is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I thought, that's so clear and so clearly wrong. Or even I think there's a t-shirt you can get that says Jesus is God the Father. And I thought, you know, this is complicated stuff and it's easy to get turned around in it. But when a oneness person says Jesus is God the Father, something just clicks in your head and you say, that can't be right.
Right.
I wanted to buy the t-shirt, but I didn't want to, I wanted the t-shirt.
I got you. That's funny. Wow. So again, I'm telling you, my listeners are going to flip out. I got more questions. I'm sorry. So, and here's another one I want to ask you about. And here was the analogy. Are you familiar with the, fidget spinner?
Yeah.
So I seen a graphic, the fidget spinner. When it had, you know, it was a 3-point fidget spinner. It had Jesus on one, you know, the Father on the other, the Holy Spirit on the other, and then you spin it and then it said God. And then I was like, so is that modalism? So what would be your interpretation of that fidget spinner, illustration?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's kind of a cool illustration. Cause in that the oneness arises in some kind of mysterious way that makes you say, ooh, ah. It's just, you know, it's very abstract mm-hmm. and it's very personal. And when I'm looking at the Father and the Son points on a fidget spinner, I'm thinking about this really abstract, almost mathematical question about oneness and distinction. Mm-hmm. And it's taken me pretty far out of what's clear and concrete in the Bible, where the Father sends the Son, the Son mm-hmm. loves and glorifies the Father. And you know, that Jesus prays to the Father the night before his crucifixion, glorify me with the glory you and I shared before the foundation of the world.
Mm.
To go from that kind of rich, concrete, personal interaction portrayed in scripture to, you know, this point and that point are somehow mysteriously one like a fidget spinner. Again, I'm not even saying it's wrong. I just think it's really distracting and abstract.
Gotcha. So really any explanation should always point back to the gospel. And
yeah, well, so any of these illustrations, the couple you've mentioned, there's a bunch of other ones. They almost all of them give you a little tiny partial glimpse of something about the Trinity.
Mm.
And almost all of them, if you really press them, would turn out to be better illustrations of a heresy.
Mm. Wow.
I'm not saying they're heretical, but if you really lean into them and trust them, you're going to end up, you know, that one maybe sounds a little modalistic or something. I'm not sure.
Gotcha. Oh, wow. Okay. All right, I'm gonna back out of that for my listeners' sake, but definitely enjoy asking you those questions. So, tell me a little bit about any upcoming projects, any things that you're working on, I guess going into 2020 and forward, I mean, besides continue to teach and do those things, anything else that you're working on that you can tell me about?
Yeah, I'm doing a little bit of writing right now on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. So a short book on the Holy Spirit for Crossway, written at the popular level. Then the next thing after that will be a book on union with Christ, sort of the core of the doctrine of salvation. And a little bit more long term, I'm a systematic theologian is my training, and that's different from being a biblical studies scholar, professionally speaking. But I get to write a commentary on Ephesians, which I'm really looking forward to.
Awesome. Sounds good. Sounds really good. Okay. So right here, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
The Just Thinking Podcast, hosted by Daryl Harrison and Virgil Walker, is a Christ-centered, gospel-focused, and theologically challenging program that boldly and unapologetically addresses social, political, and cultural issues from a biblical worldview. With an international listenership that stretches from the United States and Canada to Romania, Nicaragua, and Mongolia, the Just Thinking Podcast breaks through all ethnic, geographic, social, and cultural barriers to bring the objective truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the issues confronting his church and his people. Subscribe to the Just Thinking Podcast using the podcast app on your Apple or Android smart device, or you can listen online at thebarpodcast.com/JT.
All right, we're back in here with Fred, and we're having a really good conversation. To my listeners, I apologize for the extra pen in questions. I know I'm usually kind of moving along pretty smooth, but I really enjoy talking about things of especially with the Trinity, and I really enjoy talking about those things because I've seen so much abuse when it comes to that. So Fred, what we do right here on the back side of the show, we do what I call the Bark Signature Questions. And these questions are questions I ask all of my guests, no matter who they are, if it's Lincoln Duncan or, you know, Mark Dever or whoever, they all get these questions. And so the first signature bar question is, what kind of music do you listen to?
Oh, man. Well, I take it by seasons. I'm kind of in a long Van Morrison phase right now. I really enjoy Van Morrison for the way he you know, kind of opens up the world of jazz and blues and the Great American Songbook and weird old skiffle music from England and stuff. So a lot of Van.
Okay. All right. That's cool. Next signature bar question is, what book or books are you currently reading?
Okay. So I am currently reading a brand new book from Reformation Heritage Books called Faith in the Triune God. This is kind of a mouthful. It's by a guy named Petrus von Maastricht, who wrote around 1700. They're going to do a multi-volume translation of his stuff. It's, you know, it's an old book, but it's just now out in English for the first time. And I can never even remember the title of it. It's Theoretical Practical Theology Volume 2. That sounds pretty, you know, pretty out there, but it is extremely readable. Faith in the Triune God. It's Volume 2 and the Systematic Theology of Maastricht. And it's golden. It's devotional. It's warm. It's clear. It's about 500 pages. I assigned it to some students and I was a little nervous that it was going to be too much for them, but they loved it. And so I am carefully reading my way through it.
Awesome. All right. Last signature bar question is, what podcasts or sermons do you listen to, if any?
You know, I'm not a podcast guy.
I get it.
I don't have a commute and I've got a pretty full house and there's just almost never a time when I am by myself with earbuds in listening to things. So, try to keep up with the sermons at my own church and more of a reader than a listener.
Got it. No, that's a solid answer. I get that one a lot. I'm more of a listener than a reader. And, but I myself don't have a commute anymore either, which is weird. So I'm getting behind on a lot of my podcasts, but no, that's a solid answer. So Fred, man, I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. Glad we're able to work this out and get you on the show and talk about the Trinity and your book. Make sure my listeners, go, pick up the book and, leave reviews on Amazon. Let them know where you heard about it from. I always like to give my guests an opportunity to kind of close this out. Any words of encouragement or anything in closing you want to leave with my listeners?
You know, something I've been learning recently, and it started about a month ago when I was talking with a student, actually during a final exam. We were talking about the wrath of God, mm-hmm. and he was kind of trying to move around and talk about it the right way. And he said, you know, God, it's not that God's angry, it's more that he's upset. And then he caught himself and realized, wait, no, God's not upset. That's a terrible word to use. And we kind of laughed about it. But I've been thinking, ever since then, I've been thinking about how God is not upset. He's not overwhelmed. He's not, you know, nothing catches him off guard. Mm-hmm. He's not like, maybe I'll try this other thing. This sort of not, I don't even know if there's a theological word for this, but like the non-upsetness of God as a character. And so I've been trying to understand that more as a bit of theology about him. Mm-hmm. And also try to take it on insofar as we can humanly to have that be part of my way of dealing with the world is to, you know, I might get angry at things. I might have to hurry up and do some things rapidly, but to do it with an even keel, with an even temper and insofar as I can as a creature to not get upset about things, but to, you know, not get topsy turvy, but just calmly and steadily work towards my goals. It's been kind of the growing edge for me.
Oh, wow. Nice. That's actually good. That's a good way to approach things. So thank you for that. Yeah. To the Bar listeners, make sure you check out the Bar Podcast every Tuesday, favorite podcast. Go to thebarpodcast.com. Make sure you go to, Facebook and search the Bar Podcast as well as Twitter, Instagram, thebar_podcast. Make sure you go to thebargear.com. Pick up bar gear, hats, beanies, t-shirts, polos. It's all there. And guys, I really appreciate you. Until next time, God bless, and we are out. What's up, bar listeners? It's finally here, the bar exclusive content. Yes, that's right. You can sign up to receive exclusive content as low as $2 a week or $5 a month, $50 for the year to get exclusive content. What is the exclusive content? I'm glad you asked. The exclusive content is additional information from my guests, extra time with them in like the green moon setting, laid back, them asking me questions, I ask them questions, and also the Facebook group. You get an invitation into the Facebook group where we will have discount codes for the bar gear and many, many more. Make sure you sign up. The link's in the show notes. Join the VIP inside the bar group, and we'll see you there.